This holiday season, don't miss out on your chance to stock up on your favorite supplements during the Black Friday Cyber Monday sale at my FullScript online supplement dispensary. November 29th through December 3rd, 5 days only, get 10% off and free shipping on my entire inventory of top supplements at drhoffmanstore.com. You stock only the highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere. The very same supplements I prescribe to my patients and take myself. It's the safest and most convenient way to purchase my curated supplements. Buying through FullScript offers fast, free shipping and optional refill reminders via text or email. It's safe, secure, and includes world-class customer service. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for 10% off and free shipping for 5 days only from November 29th through December 3rd. That's drhoffmanstore.com.
Did you know that collagen makes up 30% of the protein in your body? It's a substance that gives structure, support, and strength to your skin, muscles, bones, and connective tissues. Collagen is what keeps our skin firm and youthful, preventing it from sagging. It also supplies amino acids that are crucial for building healthy hair and protecting hair follicles. The collagen supplement that I use and recommend to my patients is Revive by Bright Core Nutrition. Revive combines five types of collagen with hyaluronic acid and biotin to heal and nourish your skin, hair, and nails. Studies show that collagen also helps relieve joint inflammation and pain. If you're looking to heal your body from the inside out and reverse some effects of aging, Revive could be your answer. For more information and to order, visit mybrightcore.com/Hoffman. That's mybrightcore.com/Hoffman or call 888-592-9909. That's 888-592-9909. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, buy two bottles of Revive and get one free, plus a collagen sheet mask as a free gift. That's mybrightcore.com/Hoffman for Revive Multi-Collagen Protein.
Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and as you know, we always try to be topical. And when it comes to health, the elephant in the room, and yes, that is not an inadvertent pun, the elephant is indeed in the room with the ascension of the Republican Party here in the U.S., both on the presidential side and also on the legislative side. We've got some things to think about from the standpoint of natural health. And we have a champion, or a potential champion, RFK Jr. He's been nominated as Secretary for Health for the HHS, Health and Human Services, a big agency that comprises virtually everything that touches upon our health, the CDC, the FDA, and ancillary agencies that set health policy. Just as a caveat, it is not the purpose of Intelligent Medicine to take sides because we have a very, very wide constituency all along the political spectrum, from people on the left who are worried about climate change and environmental devastation due to unregulated commerce and are upholding the rights of those underserved by a medical system, to those on the right who deplore overzealous government intrusion on free speech and innovation. And so we actually have an interesting instance with RFK Jr. He's had such a strange party trajectory, starting in the Democratic Party, a sign of a powerful Democratic dynasty. He first gained notoriety as an ardent environmentalist, which is high ground staked out by left-of-center groups like the Sierra Club and the Environmental Working Group. And more recently, he ran as a maverick Democrat, intent on defying the status quo within his own party. And then, after he was branded a dangerous crackpot by his own compatriots, he became an independent candidate, and then faced with efforts to remove him from the ballot by his party elite, he defected to Trump. Wow. Strange bedfellows, embracing his promise of disruption of the status quo. And so this explains how complicated it is because, you know, there's a saying, all politics are local. And for us in the field of integrative medicine, our proponents of health freedom and natural health practices, this is our neighborhood. And our neighborhood is neither defined by left or right. So this is a introduction to today's guest, who is CEO of, or COO, Chief Operating Officer and Director of the Alliance for Natural Health USA. He also serves as the Director of and Founder of ANH International, which is UK-based. He's Dr. Rob Ferkirk. He's been a frequent guest here on Intelligent Medicine, a good friend and colleague. During the course of his work over the last 35 years, he's focused on diverse issues ranging from environmental protection to reducing synthetic chemical load among urban and rural communities, and also insisting the development of natural and sustainable approaches to healthcare. And he's made substantial contributions to the development of a more appropriate legal framework for the regulation of natural products used in healthcare. And I've invited him on the program because this is a very propitious time to talk about opportunities to move forward in advocacy for the things we believe in here at the Alliance for Natural Health. And so he's, you know, another way of saying this is Rob Ferkirk is kind of the RFK of the UK, except he doesn't leave whale heads and dead bears around in parks over there, or do you? I don't know about your eccentricities, Rob.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. That is not in your lane.
It's not my thing. It's not my thing, Ron.
Okay. So you're a regular guy. Rob, so, you know, after that lengthy introduction, you know, I think we're trying to create a framework for a discussion about how to think about RFK Jr.'s nomination to head HHS and your reaction to it. And, you know, are there perils? Are there opportunities there? What think you?
Thank you, Ron. What a pleasure it is to be on Intelligent Medicine again. What we're seeing is change, big change. And I think there is, in any political system, a kind of reservation about what might happen when change occurs. Most of the lessons I've learned during my 40-odd years as a practicing scientist have come from nature. That's why I founded Alliance for Natural Health. And whenever you see a system that is changing very rapidly, one of the things that relates to that is the degree of entropy, the degree of change in energy, movement of energy becomes much greater. And of course, when it becomes much greater, it's like, where is that energy moving? So we have this fascinating dynamic, as you've so clearly expressed. You've got someone who comes from the environmental side of life, who's very, very concerned about the water quality in the Hudson, looking at environmental chemicals. He's also deeply concerned, as we can see through his nonprofit that we've had a very long and close relationship with, Children's Health Defense. Very great concern about children's health. He is definitely very concerned about the fact that the United States of America sits on the top of the nations suffering the most serious epidemic of chronic diseases. And he's always said in the run-up to the election, if I get a senior post, such as in HHS, heading HHS, which he's now been nominated for.
Which is like a dream job for him. It's almost like, you know, he's been chasing the bus for so long, you know, like the proverbial dog chasing the bus, and he's finally caught it.
Yeah, so, exactly. You remember when Susie Wiles was appointed chief of staff, there was a change in the messaging. Mm-hmm. He's not going to get the job.
Right.
You know, it was really, it was off the table. And, you know, Susie Wiles, interesting, because she will make some pretty major decisions, but she also has, when you look at her consultancy outfit, Mercury, she's worked with pretty much everyone in the big pharma, big food game.
And she's the designated chief of staff.
Chief of staff, exactly.
Of the Trump administration, so, yeah.
Exactly. So,
In effect, the gatekeeper.
Exactly. Yeah. Precisely. So Pfizer and Kellogg's, to give you an example from big pharma and big food, are amongst her client list. However, she also worked in the Reagan administration, and she is definitely a patriot. And, you know, here lies the dilemma that we all face, and why I think, for me, the very fact that it's on people's lips, the fact that we are now discussing what might happen when much of the potential that was out there was, you know, we had all given up on the possibility that there would be some kind of top-down solution. In the integrative medicine field, we have felt that we need to be working at the therapeutic relationship level between physicians
chipping away at the grassroots level.
Yeah. The public health part of the equation, we've pretty much given up on. You know, we've seen a few major bloopers in public health where public health hasn't followed the science. You know, the low salt campaign where women were never told that if you consume less than 4 grams of salt, they were just told to consume less than 6 grams of salt, your hypertension risk would increase. You know,
And
we've seen, you know, some real confusion around the idea of mass medicating for dental caries via fluoridation, a very issue that RFK has jumped hold of and said, we're going to stop that, because the reality is that fluoride, particularly if you use hydrofluorosilicic acid, the form of fluoride that is artificial fluoride that's added to the water supply, is pretty toxic. And yes, if you separate out the fluoride atom, the halogen, it is important in terms of managing calcium levels in the body. But you get it wrong, you get the dose wrong, just like if you get the dose of sodium wrong, it becomes a toxin. And the one thing that RFK understands, that we've understood for decades, is that drinking water does not allow you to control dose. So if you've got an elite athlete, they're going to be consuming, you know, maybe 5-8 liters of drinking water.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Whereas someone who's in their 70s and is largely sedentary might consume 1 liter. So it's not a clever way of dosing something that we know needs to sit within this optimal range.
Right.
So, you know, I was talking about change, and I think that's what people are struggling with. They see this dilemma, this environmentalist who's now moved from Democrat to Republican. But we need to focus on the fact that change is what we need, because the system as it stands, as the data shows, if you look at the epidemic of chronic disease, if you look at the massive reduction in health span, that's the number of years that people remain healthy before they become in some way compromised by disease or disability, that is shrinking rapidly. And in fact, we may even, in terms of longevity, see a shift in which overall longevity has hit a high point. We're going down the other way. Now, if we look at the money that is expended on healthcare, you can go to World and Data and find some wonderful graphs looking at per capita health expenditure versus longevity or health span.
Bang for the buck.
It doesn't look good for America. It really doesn't. There is a bundle of countries that are spending about 1/10 of that amount and getting much better, or at least equivalent, outcomes both for longevity and health span. So this idea that, which is generally a, you know, a left big government type approach, that you just keep putting in more money into government with the expectation that these national figures are going to improve, That doesn't work anymore.
I think this is a little bit the previous orientation, is that we need more healthcare. There's inequities in healthcare. We need to expend more money. We need to underwrite the price of prescription drugs. And now with the advent of obesity drugs, we could possibly double our healthcare expenditures if we underwrite it, especially for disadvantaged populations who statistically are more obese. So we just need to invest more in our current system. Well, you cited a very interesting statistic yesterday. I was on a Zoom call with you about the percentage of health benefits, actual outcomes that were attributable to medications, tests, and devices. In other words, we need more mammograms, we need more Ozempic, we need more blood pressure and insulin, we need, you know, more availability of high-tech surgical outcomes. What percentage of health outcomes depend on those?
So this is a study that was, you probably know Leroy Hood, 4P Medicine. He's an absolute bigwig in the research side of integrative medicine. And what he and his team did is look at the county health rankings where you look across the United States, across 50 states, and you're looking at how the effort placed on clinical care and other factors relate to outcomes. And what they found is that only 16% of outcomes can be related to clinical care. So, you know, this idea that we need to somehow really upgrade clinical care is somewhat questionable based on that and plenty of other data. There is a huge and ever-growing literature that shows that the factors that are the most influential determinants of health are social and environmental determinants. So this is actually a subject that RFK has got his head around.
Indeed. And that is also the remit of the Alliance for Natural Health, because, you know, while we don't deplore high-tech advances in medicine, we think that priorities need to be adjusted so that we emphasize, just as RFK's vision, that we need to emphasize a more
We got to do the basics
approach.
First, Ron. We got to deal with the basics. And what one of the difficulties with the way in which technology has played a role in medicine is that there are always going to be stakeholders out there who are thinking, we have the latest answer for a particular disease, a particular condition. And so we're always looking for these magic bullets. And if we start looking backwards and we look at what's happened historically, we see, with few exceptions, antibiotics is one of those exceptions. Essentially these magic bullets haven't been magic at all. What they've done is put massive revenues. If we look at, lipid modifying drugs, for example, Lipitor, et cetera, if we look at, NSAIDs even, and certainly we look at opioids, if we look at, SSRIs, these have created, and look at oncologic drugs, these have created huge revenues for pharmaceutical companies. The benefit for the public has been pretty marginal, because ultimately the things that really impact your health outcomes are the choices you make on a daily basis. From the moment you get up in the morning, what you decide to put into your mouth, how you decide to think, how you decide to move, what your occupation is, what peer pressure you face from your peers in terms of the kind of diet that you're going to be eating, what the quality of the air and the water is that you're exposed to if you're in a rural area, all the way through to how many meals you have, how often you snack, whether you drink or you smoke, how you choose to be physically active or not, if you choose to come back from work and switch on the television and expose yourself to a bunch of negative news about the calamities that are happening around the world.
That certainly is a personal risk factor for me.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
You know, how close your last eating interval is before you sleep and how much interference that meal might cause the Akkermansia bacteria in your gut that need to operate a cleanup, you know, roll through the course of the night so that your mucosa, your gut mucosa, is in a position the next day to be able to discern friend from foe. One of the reasons that we see this huge spiral and rise of autoimmune conditions, there, as you know, Ron, there are now pretty much 100 different autoimmune conditions that have been identified, and they are increasing at a dramatic rate. You know, if you look at the rates of ulcerative colitis, type 1 diabetes, rheumatoid arthritis, these conditions are just going through the roof, and they relate to the fact that the immune system, the most sophisticated system that we have on board that discerns what is us, what is self, and what is non-self, and then pitches a battle against non-self, that system becomes ever more confused if we get it wrong. And the big reason why so much autoimmune disease is out there is because there is a massive change in the way that we live today, how we eat today. So a combination of chemicals and food, it's not just what we eat, it's when and how we eat is really interfering with those natural processes. And that's why so many people are benefiting from intermittent fasting or extending their overnight fast, for example. But you see, we have in RFK someone who understands these things. Now, I don't believe it's ever happened before.
Yeah, I was going to say that, you know, previously what they look for are sort of capable administrators and custodians of the status quo. I don't know a thing about Xavier Becerra, who is the guy who is currently, he hasn't made a big splash. All he's done is, you know, he's sort of presiding over the ongoing processes within the agency. I don't think he has a vision for where he should take it. And I think we, in RFK, I don't know whether he's a competent administrator. I don't know if he's run any big organizations other than his own private bailiwick, which is Children's Health Defense. But he, on the vision side, he is very big because he has a real sense of where he wants to revolutionize Americans' health. And I think that that's at the very least, that's interesting. You know, I observe that history kind of proceeds in dialectics. You know, we had, communism, and then we had the Velvet Revolution. You know, we had, Orthodox Catholicism, and then we had the Reformation. And, you know, these things kind of went along for a while. And then all of a sudden we had big disruption and things began to change in a big way. And it appears that we may be on the cusp of a historical moment where at least there's the potential for things to change in a big way on the health front, because we've been going along pretty much, you know, careening towards a high-tech healthcare system. And I think people are coming to the realization, and perhaps emerging from COVID, COVID has undermined people's confidence in health authorities and in science in general. That we're ripe for some reevaluation.
100%. Change, when a system is broken, it needs to get out of the way to allow a new system to come in place. And I was lecturing with a colleague, the founder of the of clinical psych and neuroimmunology, Leo Poembom, in Ireland, in the west of Ireland, this last weekend. And I was aware that there were many, probably half the audience were medical doctors, the other half were naturopathic and other nutritional practitioners. And everyone has on their mind what is going on in the United States at the moment. And there was definitely
buzz. What's their take on it? You know, it's...
Well, you know, I would say that there's about a 50% split of those who are worried because the change may be too great. There was almost 100% sense that RFK would be better than almost anyone else that could be in that position. So that was very, very positive. There was a general worry from about half of them, you know, just roughly, finger in the air, who were concerned about Trump. There were also...
I think if the election were to be held in the UK, I think Kamala Harris would have garnered about 80% of the votes, you know, because I don't think Trump Trump is not a very promising brand for Scandinavia and Northern Europe.
No, there's a lot of negativity, and you've got to remember a huge amount of that negativity is based on what information people have been fed.
Yeah,
I've noted that where I'm able to take from alt media a unedited interview of Trump when people have only been exposed to highly edited versions that have come through CNN
sound
or
bites,
BBC.
You know, like there's going to be a bloodbath, et cetera, you know, the kind of these kind of things taken out of context. Yeah.
And that he's going to be a warmonger, that he's going to, you know, completely destroy the U.S. Constitution or run against it. These things are fiction. Actually has respect for it, and I'm as a a representative of a non-partisan organization. To go back to how you kicked off our discussion, it is really important that we can understand whatever the candidate. This is probably the most powerful position in the world, so it is important to talk about it. The idea of sort of pushing it under the carpet and saying, look, politics is something that, should not be discussed in relation to healthcare. I've actually been at major medical conferences where I've been told, Rob, could you hold back on talking about politics? And the bottom line is politics is intimately connected with all aspects of healthcare. To separate it out and say it's nothing to do with it is crazy. That's why we're in the situation we are now.
Well, let me just share with you something, because I am apparently on some kind of mail merge where I continually get missives like this via instant message, and I'll read it to you. Dr. Hoffman, it's Dr. Rob with the Committee to Protect Healthcare again. Hey, how can you quarrel with that, the Committee to Protect Healthcare? Over 12,000 doctors have already signed our letter calling on the Senate to reject RFK Jr.'s appointment as HHS Secretary. Add your voice by signing our letter here. This appointment is a slap in the face to every healthcare professional who has spent their lives working to protect patients with a preventable illness and death. So we've got these campaigns, and when I go to the website, it's not very transparent. I really don't know who these people are, I wonder if they have a political affiliation, or I wonder if they have underwriting from, medical societies or the pharmaceutical industry. It is unclear to me, but there's going to be, people are up in arms. The scientific establishment is up in arms too. If you read, publications like Nature, they strongly advocated against the Trump administration. Which is unusual, because scientific journal, you figure like, hey, there's going to be some neutrality, but like, they felt that they had to break precedent of many decades and perhaps centuries to say this is an unparalleled threat to scientific integrity and to, our medical bona fides. Wow.
You see, whenever change happens, there will always be unparalleled circumstances that we need to navigate. And we saw one with the pandemic.
Yeah.
This is the first time that a relatively untested new technology got dispensed to the vast majority of the adult population.
And a lot of polarization. A lot of polarization around that.
So change is always there. And I think that's essentially, you've got to remember that the pharmaceutical industry is the most powerful lobbying force out there. So the amount of energy, we think of this idea of, you know, where energy gets placed, the amount of energy that will be put into anti-RFK, anti-Trump, anti-Vance campaigns. I mean, I'm hearing all sorts of stuff coming through about J.D. Vance. You know, I was invited to a meeting in Hershey. It was the 11th city in the Tucker Carlson tour. In Hershey, Pennsylvania, Tucker interviewed J.D. Vance. And having talked to a number of people about the fact, well, I heard him, completely unscripted interview. I was very impressed by the depth of his understanding and his deep concern for the American people. He talked about his negative responses to his vaccines, that he was pretty concerned about all of that, that he was very much on the MAHA ticket. He had a very deep understanding of the U.S. Constitution. Also seen, you know, where he had come from, Hillbilly Elegy, his book, and now a Netflix film.
And dealing with the health problems that are inherent in that that community, many of which are lifestyle related. I mean, I think, you know, your guy, Jamie Oliver, went to West Virginia on a crusade to reform the diet of kids in public schools, and he was absolutely decimated by his experience because they were so resistant, and it was the epic fail.
Correct. And what you find is that there are narratives that are being seeded into the public that are identical, that when you really break those narratives down, you realize that they're being made up. They're fictitious. They are designed to discredit. And I think what you've got is some very sophisticated machines out there that are very well funded that will try and scupper the message. And I think that's the only role that we can all play in this, is that we can try and, you know, sort the wheat from the chaff.
Right. And navigate the sort of treacherous political currents to our advantage, because, you know, after all, you know, we have our goals, and whether it's, you know, left or right, you know, I might mention that Cory Booker, for example, who's a very liberal Democratic senator from New Jersey, is a big proponent of lifestyle. He's on the sort of vegetarian bandwagon, as is our Mayor Adams here in New York, who wants to, you know, revolutionize our, you know, food supply. These are folks on the left, and I think we can really make common cause across, you know, bridging party affiliations to MAHA, Make America Healthy Again. That's at least, you know, the vision that we espouse.
100%. Focus on the issues, and, you know, from a political perspective, it's really worth lining up what an individual party might do, or a particular individual in a position of power might do. And we've identified 12 different areas that are highly relevant to the new administration. And that would be no different if it was, you know, a Harris administration. You know, our job is to make sure that we can push some of those issues through. And of course, Jonathan Emord, our general counsel, the FDA Dragonslayer, is now on the team. He's getting countless requests to be invited into the administration, but he's choosing to remain outside because, you know, essentially, if you get into the system, there is a possibility that your voice gets neutered, it gets changed. Because so we believe by staying outside it, we're going to have more impact, and we can both act to support issues and policies that are moving us in the right direction in relation to our overall mission, which is definitely around improving the health of the American public. It's you know, and of course, people now see MAHA as something that's unique to the Republicans, but of course, there are, you know, every person on the planet pretty much is interested in improving health.
We've been talking MAHA for a long time before it was MAHA.
Exactly.
So I just before we go to break, because we divide our podcast into two parts, as you know, Just give people the heads up on the Alliance for Natural Health, because some people may not be aware that there is already in place an advocacy organization that is going to try and work with the current administration to affect change and have input to some of the decisions that are being made, you know, whether or not RFK Jr. is approved, and that is even up in the air. We want our voices heard as we move forward into a new political reality. Tell us about ANH, how people can participate.
So the easiest thing to do is to go into ANH, which stands for Alliance for Natural Health, ANH-USA.org. We put out a weekly newsletter. We have hundreds of action alerts. We have pushing 500,000 supporters. We are probably the most influential natural health organization working on the Hill on federal issues. We also work on state issues, and we also work internationally. So the starting point is really just sign up, get involved with our information, our action alerts, our videos, share it as widely as you can. You'll find a huge amount of information that can be life-changing just in terms of education, because we're very connected with the integrative medicine communities around the world. We're at this point in time, we see a really important opportunity that we need to make the most of. And so people's voices need to be heard. We've got to understand that in a democratic system, essentially the government are our servants. That's something that has really been forgotten in recent years. It's certainly something that's fallen apart in Europe, there is an authoritarian creep that has really dispensed of what I would regard as a true democratic system. In fact, even if you look at The Economist, that has been looking at through its democracy index, it's now suggesting that there are only about 6% of the world's population are living in true democracies. That's how far the whole thing has slipped. So freedom and democracy are things that you need to fight for. And even if your party has the name democracy or Democrat written in it, it doesn't necessarily mean that it is really fighting for a democratic process. So we all need to engage in that system. Please come to anh-usa.org and become part of the movement for change.
With that being said, in part two, we're going to focus on some of the initiatives that ANH is getting behind in 2024 and beyond, because we have, I think, an extraordinary opportunity to affect change. And we're moving ahead on all fronts. So when we return, more of our discussion with today's guest, Dr. Rob Verkirk. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. By the way, just in case I haven't mentioned it, I'm also president of the Alliance for Natural Health. So I also have a stake in having you be active within my favorite organization. This is Intelligent Medicine.